Welcome to Homer's Phobia, episode 4F11, which originally aired February 16th, 1997. I'm executive producer and showrunner Bill Oakley.
I'm Josh Weinstein, the other exec producer showrunner.
Mike Anderson, animation director.
Ron Hauge, I wrote the episode.
Steve Tompkins, one of the writers.
Matt Groening, freelance layout artist.
And our special guest today.
Hi, I'm John Waters, and boy, was it fun to do The Simpsons.
All right, everybody got their ticket? Then get ready for today's Super Bardo Jackpot Drawing.
I remember the first thing when you all called and asked to do it, I thought, well, it's good enough for Elizabeth Taylor. She did one, so I, of course, would do it. But when it was weird because you asked me to play someone named John who looked like me that wasn't me, and a gay man. And I remember, fine, I said, I'll do it, but just tell him that if I look like Richard Simmons, I'll have you killed. That's the only thing I remember from the first phone call.
You
give me a lot of hair, too.
I think we sort of wanted this character to be John Waters-esque from the moment we came up with it. Let's talk a little bit about the genesis of this episode, Ron.
Well, somebody, I think it was Josh, came in with a piece of paper with a few lines on it that George Meyer had come up with for show ideas. And one of them said, the words on it were Bart the Homo. I said, Ron, you're going to write an episode, and that's the one I picked. So it started there.
Okay, and you remember there was a lot of making this up in the room, but what I think one of the reasons we thought of John was because Josh and I had for many years had this episode that we could never get off the ground called Lisa and Camp. And it was about Lisa discovering the joys of campy things and Plan 9 from Outer Space and, you know, weird old fabrics and things like that. And we wanted to have John Waters in it, us always having been huge John Waters fans.
Yes, John, we grew up in D.C. and Maryland, and you were always sort of a guy.
I grew up in rural Maryland, yeah. the kind of place that you were always satirizing.
Where I still live. Well, I love in the when you actually explain what camp is in this episode. And I thought, you know, Susan Sontag has finally crossed over when she's on The Simpsons, because I remember when that famous essay came out in the early 60s, and suddenly people were saying, what is camp? And having all these serious discussions about it. And then to see it on The Simpsons, it's just great. You know, it had finally come all that way and ended up so, you know, kids are seeing it for the first time in a good way.
We should do a Susan Sontag.
Although you look at this now... Yeah, Susan Sontag episode, bro.
Yeah, or an action figurine.
Ron, do you remember whether we had John lined up before you wrote the script?
Yes, the idea was to use John. And I will say the working title on this was Bart Goes to Camp, which nobody got.
Hi, I'm John. Can I help you with anything?
Yes, I have something that I'd like to sell.
Well, I'm looking at myself right now on screen, and I really think I should try my mustache wavy. You drew it in a different way, but it would really be hard to shave like that. But, you know, I'll be 60 years old this year, so I was going to make it blue. But now I think maybe looking at this, I should try to make it curly like that. That would really be hard to shave, though. Yeah.
I'd be afraid of nicking it. But if we drew it as a straight line, it would have looked like a mistake.
If it weren't wavy, it would look weird. It would look like a...
Well, in a weird way. Yeah, well, why, though? In a weird way, when it's straight, seems cartoonish. You know, there's always... but it looks great like this. Like you improved it, you know. You improved it. You gave me more hair and a wavy mustache.
I guess it'll always be a monument to Grandma's secret drinking problem.
You know, I'd always wanted to be a caricature of myself. They always tell you that's a bad thing to become, but I feel like I was happy to be one, finally.
Where's Dad?
Oh, but this is the Rex Mars Atomic Discombobulator. Don't you just love the graphics on this box?
No. How can you love a box or a toy or graphics? You're a grown...
When The Simpsons first started, mother of a friend of mine says she liked the show, but she couldn't stand that main character with those giant brown lips. Talking about Homer. I didn't realize that was a beard line.
Well, we're so used to the coloring of The Simpsons now, but when you look at it, you see how radical it really is. I mean, everybody's used to it, but everyone's hair doing everything. You've seen it for so many years that maybe after many, many seasons you get used to it, but it is certainly more radical than any of my movies, the hairdos and the skin colors, and it's, you know, Wicked Witch of the West.
That's the one thing I want to say about this episode. It's a fantastic design and direction by Mike Anderson, who's especially always very careful about colors in this episode.
Thank
and
you.
I think it really paid off.
Well, you did. I tell you, The Simpsons bedroom, I mean, their bedroom is gayer than anything I've ever seen.
Well, I tried to make it that way. No, it was a great thing when I heard that John Waters was going to be the guest star. I felt like I'd won some kind of contest because I was such a big fan of his, and chance to direct you, John, was pretty exciting.
Well, I remember doing the show. How, you know, I was a little nervous. I had never done it before. I didn't know what it was going to be like to do a voiceover. And got there, and it was very much like doing a radio show. I mean, everybody was at a different microphone around the room. You did a page or two at a time, and you were a very patient director and asked things to do things over in a very nice way. But it was really, I felt like I was on the Fred Waring show or something. You know, really.
Well, there's no hair and makeup, and you don't have to learn your lines, so we get a lot of people.
No, it was... Yeah, it was pretty easy, and but certainly fun. And Mike and I really, you know, we sort of bonded heavily. I mean, we're still friends. We even had a TV show together.
Say no more.
At one time, it was called the Patent Leather Dream House, and then it was called Uncle John. And it almost happened at a few networks, and it didn't. But this was all came from doing this episode together.
So, do those records have camp value?
Everything here does. You yourself are worth a bundle, Homer. Why, I could wrap a bow around you and slap on a price tag. Come on, Homer, join the party.
You know, I was such a fan of yours, I had saved my Odorama cards for, I think, 13 years and
me
had
too.
You sign them when you came to do the record.
I picked up all the discarded Odorama cards in the theater after seeing Polyester, and I had a big stack of like 40 of them that I still have.
Oh,
I still have many of them.
You know, they still work. I had to put mine in the garage because they still smell, even the original ones, which are now 26 years old.
The smell on the card has outlasted the marriage of the people I gave it as a wedding gift.
Oh. Well, sometimes that happens. I think Divine says in one of my moves, I'm trying to erase the stink of a 5-year marriage. You could do an Odorama episode. You know, the Rugrats stole my idea. Did you know that? Like 2 years ago, they did the Rugrats sequel. They put it out, and they used the same letters, Odorama and everything, because New Line had forgotten to renew the trademark.
I think there's very similar complaints about that show.
I was so furious about it. And then they said, well, John, why are you mad? It was an homage. I think I said a check would have been an homage.
An homage is an unpaid ripoff. Yes,
it's continuous, but Homer's dressed differently.
Now, do we want to should we talk about
continuity.
The background of this episode? Because this episode, do you want to talk about how they tried to kill it, Bill?
You mean once it was actually done? Okay, this is exactly what... The way that the censor process works on The Simpsons, you know, we're famous for not having to take notes from the network, but we do have to take censor notes from Standards and Practices. So we send out the scripts up just by courier up to the censor, and we get notes back, and the normal procedure is they fax back a thing, and it's usually like 2 typewritten sentences that say, please delete or substitute for the use of the word scumbag.
Right, standard caution that Bart's behind is not so visible.
Right, right. Or please clear with legal mention of Xerox Corporation, that kind of thing. This, when it came back, it was 2 solid pages of typewritten notes about every single, almost every single line in the show. Every single...
But objecting in what way?
Oh, I'm going to get to that. It said, it basically said, delete or substitute for the use of the word gay, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And it didn't like the whole idea that there was any mention of the word gay or the concept of homosexuality in the episode at all. And so it cited every single instance of it. Not to mention all the usual things like mention of the word ass and whatnot. And then at the end was like basically a large paragraph saying the topic and substance of this episode are unacceptable for broadcast. Blah, 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 blah. So our normal procedure with all censor notes is to just discard them. And this is what usually happens with all the censor notes on The Simpsons. We would just literally throw them in the trash, and we'd worry about them when the show came back in color. Because what happens is it's so extensively rewritten over the course of time that a lot of times the offending line might even be gone just through lack of...
That's how the censor thinks we listen to them.
Right, right. And this episode... They didn't happen. What happened was after every single draft and every single revision, they'd still send that same thing, and they got more and more and more alarmed, up to the point that the show came back in color from Korea. By that time, the network president had been fired and replaced with a new president and a new censor, and the censor sent a 1-line thing that said acceptable for broadcast, and that was the end.
Isn't that great? It was just politics, in a way.
Yeah, the censor notes that we threw away, those are even rarer than the Odorama cards.
Yeah, I'm sure you threw them away. That's a shame. You know, you should have put them in the, you know, on the back of the box. Because, I mean, there's such funny lines in this. And people have said to me, like, well, did you write any of that? I said, I didn't change one thing. I liked every... There was only 1 line I think I didn't like. Said something about I didn't like my father. And I thought, you know,
I remember that
I've worked
line.
For like 40 years to get along with my father. He doesn't need to see that.
There was a scene where Homer had just yelled at you, and then he walked out of the room, and you turned to Marge, and rather than be mad at him, just very good-naturedly, you said, you know who would like him is my dad.
That's right.
And
yeah,
we tried
and I thought,
you know, my dad's going to watch this. You know, no matter what, they always think that a little bit of it is you.
We were happy to change it. We changed it to, you know, who would like him is my landlord, and then it was cut altogether.
My favorite line in the whole thing is when they say, the entire steel industry is gay. It's my favorite line. And it, especially growing up in Baltimore where, you know, it's a smokestack city, you know, blue-collar city. We had all the steel mills here and everything, and just imagining that. And the Anvil, the bar that you actually name, was a real gay bar that I've been in my life, a really shocking one, too, where unbelievable sexual debauchery went on, and it was so amazing for me to see the Anvil. Yes. Somebody on the show had been there, too.
There's a reason Steve is here, and we're going to get to that in a few minutes.
We did a lot of research on the show, and let's just leave it at that.
I don't. I think this was Steve's line.
Joke is incredibly risque, but it will go over people's heads that it needs to go over.
Well, you have to have heard that expression before. I love the cactus candy.
Someone just gave me cactus candy a week before I wrote the show.
I saw, you know, how things have changed. There's, and I also live in New York, and I have an apartment there. I'm in the children's store across the street from mine. In the window this week, I noticed they have wigs for children, for, like, little gay children, you know, that fit children. And it's on all the mannequins in the window. I thought, that's so great.
I had a false memory from childhood of plastic wigs that were formed into hairstyles. And for the longest time, I seem to remember them, but I think I'm wrong.
They were real.
No, they were
real. I remember them.
I had a plastic wig.
Yeah, they were molds, like.
We threw them like frisbees, though. We used them like James Bond.
A lot of the things, you know, in this movie, I think I was actually playing my friend Bob Adams, who has a real thrift shop named Flashback. And that's how I just thought of it. It was his store the whole time. It's exactly like this. I give tours of Baltimore, too, but not gay tours. Scary tours where we go to, like, biker bars and stuff. But it's similar.
But we liked having also the seamy underside of Springfield, which we had not really explored before. But you know it's there in every town.
Just remember, son, whatever happens, I'll always...
This stuff is really astute.
Yeah, I love the billboard that's coming up.
Yeah, that billboard is good.
It's amazing.
Oh, now you'll notice, I've noticed this, and I do not know, I recall that we did, this might have done this intentionally, there are no seatbelts at all. Nobody ever wears a seatbelt in this episode.
There's nothing safe about this episode.
And is that something you would get a note from?
Yes, we would.
Are they politically correct that way, that kind of thing?
It's more like they don't want kids to say, well, Bart doesn't wear a seatbelt in their lawsuit against The Simpsons for their car injury.
Well, but what do they think about now he wants a cigarette?
What if we accidentally animated a car wreck?
This was back when you could mention cigarettes on television.
You could. I'm still amazed that they sell candy cigarettes. I'm surprised that isn't illegal. I see them, though. Can you imagine buying your children? Get a little pack of Luckies.
Well, they used to make them exactly like the real brands, and then they gradually changed them.
I know, Kools.
And they also used to have fake smoke.
And then I ended up smoking Kools.
Well, when I was a kid, I was actually smoking, and I saw my parents drive by, and I know that they saw me. So before I went home, I bought candy cigarettes and put them in my pocket.
Excellent.
I didn't say anything about it. I just left my jacket there because I knew my mom would go through it. And then I saw her look and find the candy cigarettes and quietly put them back, and it never came up.
Okay.
Now let's talk about the gay steel mill, which is possibly
one of the most referenced things in the history of this series. And that's why Steve's here. Steve, tell us about how you came up with the gay steel mill.
I think originally I pitched something to do with longshoremen, perhaps. But there was too much work to animate the lading of ships, so we went with the steel mill. But I don't know. It's just sort of the obvious place to go.
That's so great, because I... look so butch.
This is whether or not
right here,
you are gay,
hilarious.
This is an incredibly exciting moment when the music starts. You can't help but feel really excited.
There's that guy in front of the fan, which was really big
now,
in the 80s.
Now, that's a reference. This song,
CNC
Music Factory, they had, what's a big 80s, the sweaty guy or girl in front of a fan. And that's...
that was a flash dance and that kind of thing.
Now, the original third, and this is the other thing that... another Steve Tompkins thing that didn't make it all the way to the end was the original third act of this episode, which was not, didn't go to Santa's Village, but in fact went back to the steel mill for the most homoerotic tractor pull in the history of animation, I guess, and possibly the only one. But We have only dim memories of it.
It's fuzzy, but I think what it probably was in an attempt for Homer to prove his overwhelming masculine heterosexuality, he suggested some form of tractor pull, and by the end of it was shirtless, greased up.
Right, wearing some sort of leather strap.
Leather truss harness to prevent hernia.
And it was so, it was him versus some of the steel mill guys in a contest of, the most homoerotic contest of strength.
But
that,
you
world.
Didn't actually shoot any of that.
No, it was only, it only had to be the outline, and when we saw it, we realized that it didn't really service the story.
Now, this part, when you go hunting, can you imagine if you had done this around the Cheney incident? And the other joke, the only joke, that gay joke that you didn't use is one of the reindeers being called Prancer.
That's all right. I remember that.
I always thought that was a gay children's movie.
I love the backgrounds in this, Mike. Well, they're so detailed.
You know, the background designers, Lynn and Blankenship, went to swap meets and took like 100 pictures of objects and brought them back, and we feathered through them, and that's where a lot of them come from.
You went to good swap meets then. Because in Baltimore, swap meets are like, in August, an industrial size of jar of mayonnaise.
Right, or a blue blocker sunglasses.
It's usually a jar of something or a jar of nails.
Right.
Hey, no, boy. You can't drive. You're only 10. You're going hunting.
You ever been hunting before there, Barty?
Nope. Something about a bunch of guys alone together in the woods.
I love Mo. And he tries to be nice. It's so grotesque.
But when this show actually was aired, did you get grief?
No.
Praise.
One of the ones that won the Emmy, right?
Yeah, this was the one... That, I mean, it was a terrific episode, and I think we finally realized you have to submit the one that has the emotional content rather than the, you know, the crazy 3D animation, which we did the previous year. Well, not that that wasn't a great episode, but it didn't have the emotion.
This has a real drive, emotionally. It sweeps you up and everything.
But you've also been the most devious show always, because parents still don't know. They sit their kids down to watch it every week, and they don't realize
how
really devious it is. So it's a great sneak attack in a wonderful way that's completely worked.
We used to always say, like, this show is not for kids, it's not for kids, it's not for kids, it's not for kids. But now that we both have kids that are the age that they want to watch it, it's like, oi.
I think this is how I'll introduce the topic, is show this to them in a few years.
You and Marge ain't cousins, are you?
No.
But you never had anybody, when it showed, you didn't have people complaining at all.
So there were some complaints.
Were there?
Yeah, there were
like
some
Christian
letters.
Groups or that kind of thing.
I had a couple people's mothers not like it. I think because confronting the subject matter.
It's definitely, I mean, it was touchy back then. I mean, this is long before Will and Grace or anything like that. You know, only 30-something, I think, had dealt with this issue at all.
Did he say where they were going?
No, they were just going to find a deer and make Bart shoot it.
I know the show Ellen was out at this time, and we actually beat them for a GLAAD award for the individual episode.
Really? Well, the Oscars this year are going to be the GLAAD awards. That's what they're going to be like.
That's gays and lesbians with attention deficit disorder. It's where they forget briefly they're gay.
John, do you remember anything about the day when we recorded it? Did we fly you out from Baltimore for this?
Yeah,
were you already in town?
No, I don't think I was already here. I came from New York or Baltimore, yeah. And I remember, was it just one day, Mike?
It was one day.
Or 2 days?
It was one day. I actually directed the voice. Yeah. Mike directed
right,
the picture.
Right, because I was there for
because I remember I came in and we had a table reading, and everybody read through it, and I remember being kind of surprised that everybody laughed at all the jokes, everybody that was in it. So I guess, was that the first time they read it too?
They had read it the previous Thursday before you came out, and then on Monday we recorded it with you. But that was one of the things that was so terrific about this, was having you there for the whole day. Most times, or many times, the guests aren't even in the same room. We record them at another time, at another place. And having you there allowed you to really interact with Dan and with Dan, who plays Homer, and Nancy, who plays Bart.
Yeah, we did all the, I mean, we did dialogue together.
There were some crazy conversations, too, I remember. I don't know if they're appropriate for general audiences, but it was fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that, too, because John was in the room, and I, you know, couldn't help but analyze you a little bit, being a fan, and everything was very prim and proper, and then you had a few conversations that I think startled a few people.
I remember them, yeah. They're not ready for DVD commentary.
Yeah, right.
Just my bones.
But hunting, you know, I'm glad you did this, because I don't get it. I mean, when I see people hunting, like Cheney, on that trip, he
he got out of a car and they let the birds go out of a car. They're not even flying through the air.
Oh, brother.
That's a sport? I mean, that's amazing to me. It's just that could be fun for anybody.
I want to mention my friend Charlie Raggins was a background artist on The Simpsons who had a background in naturalist drawings of animals from Alaska. So we imported him into the character thing and he did all these reindeer.
It's a miracle!
No, Ultra Suede is a miracle. This is just good timing.
Oh, I'm so glad you're safe.
You know, it is the first thing I've ever done that I haven't written that I never tried to change one thing. Really, I'm such a control freak. But it was such a funny script that I, you know, it was perfect. The first draft that I read, I mean, there was nothing in it that I felt wasn't really great. So it was really fun to do.
Well, your voice performance is excellent.
Uh-huh.
We had a lot of fun when we were animating, though. You know, we talked about gay acting and saying, I had a talk with the animator saying, please don't do any limp-wristed acting, just act
that's
normal.
What I said. Please butch it up a little. I don't want to be Richard Simmons in this. And I think it works, because then when all the steel workers are a little bit Nelly, it's kind of funny.
That's what you like to be called, right?
Well, that or John.
Love this.
Yeah, we changed that line. That line, that was the line, one of the lines that we changed.
Right,
content.
I remember that one.
I won your respect, and all I had to do was save your life. Now, if every gay man could just do the same, you'd be set.
Amen to that.
I love the end, though. It's very funny when the kid suddenly...
talking. But any way you choose to live your life is okay.
People think I have a car like that in real life.
You should have a car like that.
I don't. I have a plain car that looks like a cop car.
I don't know if this is appropriate here, but I have a car like that for sale if anyone watching is interested.
Yeah, now that, boy, I bet you that got some anger in Detroit and Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's great, though.
That's how I sign these scripts to people. Keep reaching for that rambling. Here is the goal.
Back with the face, pajamas live in a best. Well, people have, ever since I've done that show, since you aired it, have come over to me. I would say literally once a week, a stranger mentions it to me. So, I mean, it really was seen by a lot of people and then liked.
I've heard that gay parties are scheduled around the repeats.
Well, they had a class in San Francisco devoted to this episode.
More people have seen this episode of The Simpsons than have seen all my movies put together.
Or the Constitution, it turns out.
Yeah. Well, it was sure a lot of fun, John.
Well, thanks, Mike.
Thank you, John.
Sure. It was fun. It was good seeing you again. I hadn't seen it since a couple of years.